Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to build a drum bus that does way more than just glue the drums together. We're going to make it compose the track's energy. That's the big idea here. In jungle and old school drum and bass, especially when you want that DJ-friendly structure, the drum bus is not just a technical chain at the end of your drums. It's part of the arrangement. It helps tell the listener where they are in the tune. It can make an intro feel mixable, a drop feel undeniable, and a breakdown feel like a proper reset. So instead of thinking, how do I make these drums louder? Think, how do I make these drums feel like they're already performing the track? We're working in Ableton Live 12, using stock tools, and aiming for that tight, punchy, characterful jungle vibe with enough control to sit under a rolling sub, a Reese bass line, and a proper club master. Let's start at the source. Before you touch the bus, build the drum layers first. You want at least two elements, a main break loop for the groove and texture, and a support layer for punch, usually a kick or snare layer. If the break is doing the identity work, let it do that. Don't overthink it too early. If it feels too thin, layer a one-shot kick or snare from drum rack. If it's too busy, carve space rather than replacing the break entirely. Put the break and any supporting drum elements into a dedicated drum group. Something like Drum Bus Jungle is perfect. That keeps everything organized and makes the bus processing much easier to manage. Now, before we compress or saturate anything, we need to decide what the groove is actually doing. In DNB, the drum bus has to lock into the bass line's motion. If the bass line is busy and syncopated, the drums can stay a little straighter. If the bass line is sparse, the drums can carry more of the movement. That relationship matters a lot. A small amount of groove can go a long way here. Use Ableton's groove pool if it helps, and try a classic swing or MPC style feel. Keep it subtle. We're not trying to make the drums lazy. We're trying to make them human. 10 to 25% is usually plenty. If you're going for a jungle feel, preserve more of the break's natural character. If you're going darker and more stripped back, keep the groove a little tighter and let the bass line provide more of the motion. Next up is cleanup. Put EQ8 first on the drum bus. This is your first control point, and it's important to shape the whole section before anything starts reacting to it. Start by gently high-passing any useless rumble below around 25 to 30 Hz. You don't want sub garbage building up in the bus. Then listen for boxiness in the low mids. Around 200 to 400 Hz is a common area where breaks can feel crowded or cloudy. If the hats or snare tops are too sharp, tame a little harshness around 3 to 6 kHz, but go easy. Old school jungle often sounds good because it has a rough, imperfect mid-range. You want to remove mud, not sterilize the break. If you've layered kick and snare samples, use EQ to let the kick feel more felt than heard, and keep the snare crack focused in the upper mids. That way the bass line has room to sit underneath without fighting the drum pocket. Now let's bring in compression, but with the right intention. Add glue compressor after the EQ. We're using it for glue, not flattening. A good starting point is a ratio of 2 to 1 or 4 to 1. Attack somewhere around 10 to 30 milliseconds, and release on auto or somewhere around a tenth to 3/10 of a second. Aim for just 1 to 4 dB of gain reduction on peaks. That's enough to hold the drums together without crushing the snap out of them. The attack is important. If you go too fast, the compressor grabs the transient and the break loses its punch. In jungle and DNB, that punch matters. The snare needs to speak. So let the initial hit through, then let the compressor grab the body and pull it into shape. If the compressor starts pumping in a bad way, lengthen the release or back off the threshold. If the break is getting too soft, again, slow the attack slightly. You're looking for controlled movement, not obvious squash. Now it's time to give the drum bus some character. Ableton gives us two really useful tools here, saturator and drum bus. Both can be great, but they do slightly different jobs. If you use saturator, keep it tasteful. A drive of about 2 to 6 dB can add nice harmonic density, especially with soft clip enabled. If you use drum bus, stay light to moderate on the drive, maybe around 5 to 20. Use crunch carefully unless you specifically want more bite. And be very careful with boom on a full drum bus, because if the sub is already strong elsewhere in the tune, you can easily overload the low end. If the break feels a little soft, a slight transience boost can help. As a teacher tip, here's a useful rule: use saturator when you want cleaner harmonic body, and use drum bus when you want more obvious processed break attitude. Jungle often benefits from that smoky, gritty, sampled feel. More modern rollers often stay tighter with saturator. Always check this in context with the bass line. The drums should feel fuller, more confident, more present, but they should not steal the center of the mix. Now we make the bus even bigger, but without wrecking the main signal. Set up a parallel return track. This is a huge move for DNB, because it lets you keep the original brake snap while adding density underneath it. On the return, use a compressor or glue compressor, then saturator, and if you want some extra lo-fi edge, add a little redux. You can also band limit the return with EQ8 so it only adds useful grit and weight. On the return channel, you can compress harder than on the main bus. Faster attack, medium release, higher ratio, more drive. Then blend it in gently. The goal is not to hear a separate effect. The goal is to make the drums feel like they have more body, more pressure, more confidence. This is especially useful when you need the drums to stand up against heavy respaces, noisy atmospheres, or thick sub movement. Parallel processing keeps the transients alive while giving the whole section more size. Now let's talk about the part that really turns this into a composition tool, automation. This is where the drum bus stops being static and starts helping structure the track. Think in 8-bar and 16-bar phrases. For a DJ-friendly DNB tune, you might have an 8 or 16-bar intro with filtered drums, then a main groove section, then a breakdown or stripped section, then a drop with the full bus coming alive. That means your bus should change with the arrangement. You can automate EQ8 to open up the intro. You can automate saturator drive so the drop feels more intense without actually adding new drum layers. You can lower the glue compressor threshold slightly in the bigger sections so the groove feels firmer. You can even automate utility width, keeping the intro narrower and the later sections a little wider. Just remember to keep the low end centered. This is one of the best mindset shifts in the whole lesson. A small change in filter, drive, or compression at the right moment can feel bigger than adding another percussion loop. In jungle and old school DNB, contrast is powerful. For example, in the first 16 bars, keep the drums a little filtered and dry so DJs can mix easily. Then at the drop, open the EQ, add a little more saturation and bring in a stronger parallel send. Later, at bar 17, 33, or 49, add a fill, a chopped break reversal, or a snare ghost pattern to stop the loop from feeling repetitive. That's how the drum bus helps tell the story of the tune. Now let's keep the low end disciplined. DNB lives and dies on the relationship between drums and bass. Use utility near the end of the drum bus to check mono compatibility and keep the center stable. You usually want the low frequencies to stay tight and centered, with width reserved for tops, hats, and atmosphere if needed. If the bus feels too wide, pull it back. Around 80 to 100% width is often enough for a darker tune. Wider is not automatically better. If the drums feel too spiky after saturation, use drum bus transients more conservatively or add a touch more compression. If the hats are harsh, carve them gently with EQ rather than dulling the whole bus. The snare needs to cut, but the top end still has to feel exciting. And here's something important. Don't overjudge the drum bus in solo. A bus that sounds a little rough by itself can feel absolutely perfect when the sub and bass line are playing. In this style, roughness often reads as energy. As you move toward the master stage, keep some headroom. Don't smash the drum bus into the ceiling before the master limiter even gets a chance to do its job. If the drums disappear when the master limiter is on, that's usually a balance issue, not a volume issue. Fix the drum and bass relationship first. A good test is simple. Mute the bass and ask yourself whether the drums still feel like a complete rhythm section. Then bring the bass back in and see if the snare and kick still own their space. If they do, you're in a strong place. Now let's talk about common mistakes to avoid. The first is overcompressing the break. If you flatten the transient, you lose the swagger. Slow the attack, reduce the gain reduction, or use parallel compression instead. The second is too much low end on the drum bus. Cut rumble below 25 to 35 Hz and watch the low mid build up around 100 to 200 Hz. The third is making the drums too clean for jungle. The genre wants some texture. Some inconsistency is part of the vibe. Another big one is widening the whole drum bus too much. Keep the low frequencies mono-friendly, and don't process everything before deciding the arrangement. First, know where your intro, breakdown, and drop energy lives. Then automate the bus to support that structure. If you want to go a level deeper, here are a few strong variations. You can split the drums into two buses, one for core elements like kick, snare, and main break fundamentals, and one for tops like hats, rides, ghost percussion, and effects. That gives you more control over width and grit without losing punch. You can also try subtle frequency-dependent processing with multiband dynamics, or use a sidechained return for reverb and delay so ambience, blooms in the gaps without washing out the groove. Another great move is resampling. Print the processed drum bus, slice it up, and retrigger hits as fills, reverses, or one-bar switch-ups. That's a classic jungle technique and it adds real personality. You can also build two versions of the bus, one cleaner, narrower and more filtered for intros and breakdowns and one brighter, denser and more clipped for drops. Crossfading between those versions can instantly make section changes feel huge. So here's the main takeaway. Your drum bus is not just a finishing chain. It's a performance layer. It should help the drum speak to the DJ, guide the listener through the track, and keep the energy evolving without constantly changing the pattern.